Okay. Last week we were started in the areas of teaching, in the areas of dealing with John's letters to the church, which we have been teaching, and looking at, in John's letters, we're looking at the subject of life, of the word life, and we talked about the fact that the word life and its usage in the scriptures, it comes from a Greek word zoe, it's Z-O-E. That word is a Greek word, but it's only ever used in the context of the New Testament, speaking of the God's life, the life that God has, and the life that God has given to those who believe. Now, in other words, this life he's talking about, we talked about in last week, just sort of what we would sort of put it into our vernacular, the ways that we talk about things. We talk about DNA. You know, every living thing has DNA. Human DNA is different from other DNA and all these things. Well, this life, it's in God. It deals with God's life, or we could say almost like God's DNA. And so spiritually it is. When you and I got born again, we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. We took on the very life of God. In other words, we are born of the same, we would say, spiritual DNA that God is. We have the same life that He has. And that's what this represents. When we find the words everlasting life and things life, everlasting life, eternal life, it's talking about this life that God has. That's what He has. And we talked last week. That's what was given to us. And we had read in 1 John the 5th chapter about that life. And we talked, it tells us in there that that we know that we have eternal life. We know we have it. In other words, when you and I received Jesus Christ, we were given that very life. That's what we have. So that's what we are. We have the same life that God has. The same life. We don't have something different. That doesn't make us God. We're children of God, you know. And so God gave us, though, His life, and this life we have within us, this is eternal life. And so I can't go back over to talk about all the things we talked about, you know, last week, but we want to go on from there because of the importance of this life. We found last week and talked about those who believe on Jesus Christ, we have been given this life, the same life that God has. And is that getting that in mind is a lot of Christians really, and that's one of the sad parts about a lot of teaching is because a lot of people, all they know is, well, we have forgiveness of sin. And the new birth isn't, if all that new birth thing was just forgiveness of sin, I just can't figure out the point of it. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. But yet the church world basically lives right around that and don't understand the life that they have. You know, the sinner saved by grace. And well, you know, we're all just going to sin. Or the whole thing is sin has dominated in the preaching of the church, whether they realize it or not. They've made spiritual death reigns and rules. And even though through the new birth, it still reigns and rules. And is getting past that. And so we have been given God's very life. In other words, the nature of what God is, you and I are. Man, I don't think it can get any better than that. You know, we have God's really the nature. Just like a child is born into a family and he has the nature. He's born as, and I mean, if a child was born and, you know, he came out of the womb and he started barking like a dog, people would sure think that seemed a little bit weird, I'm sure. You know, I don't think you'd find happy parents standing there. And, or, you know, they started clucking like a chicken or something. And, you know, that would, but yet, the church world as a whole hasn't accepted the new birth. Even though they believe on Jesus and got it, they have accepted as being real. They see themselves as what they were or what they are. They don't. And if you don't go beyond that, basically they'll live in the earth, putting up with the same things that the world puts up with. They'll basically go through the same things the world does. Really, their only hope is the fact of it is one day they die and go to heaven, and Jesus comes back, and we get to leave. But other than that, in life, many don't expect much of anything else. They pray and ask God about things, but they have no confidence that He's going to do anything. They just hope, you know, He didn't wake up miserable that morning. And, you know, you got out of the wrong side of the bed, God's not very happy today, and somebody did something wrong, and now He's mad at all of us. So, you know, it's sort of one of those things. But it's not like that. Now, we're going to look at some things in Scripture. I want to read a Scripture again from John. This is the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, because we talked about the fact that when Jesus wrote, when John wrote these letters of John, it was not from teaching that he got after he got saved. He's teaching the things, and we went back over to 1 John, the first chapter, where he said, told us that he was really, the things that were given to him, he is sharing with us. The things that Jesus told them, he's writing these things at this time. And really, these are the verifications of things that Jesus said. John's just turn around and reiterating many things that Jesus had already taught, that Jesus taught them while he walked in the earth. And he's sharing these things with the people. So this is what's written to the churches. And in John, the 14th chapter, John had, in the 6th verse, it says that Jesus said to him, he said, now listen, when he made this statement, he said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus declared that he was the way, he declared that he was the truth, and he's the life. And really, he explained in an order, and it is because if a man doesn't accept that Jesus is the way, he's probably not going to accept that Jesus is the truth. He's not going to accept what Jesus said was true. So in other words, when a person accepts that Jesus is the way, and he says and accepts the truth that Jesus has given, he said, and he's the life. In other words, when the person receives that life, he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, one must have this life to get to the Father. They have to accept who Jesus said he was, that he was the way. They have to accept the truth about salvation through Jesus Christ. And through that, you receive eternal life. There is no other way to come to God. You can't come to God. You know, and this is why it's today. We know there's so much deception among Christianity because just in the polling things that they have done over the last number of years of what Christians actually believe. And many people, these are people who are considered being born again. They say they believe in the new birth. Many believe, a large percentage, I was really amazed how many believe that you can get to heaven other ways. So in other words, they don't believe that Jesus is the way. They believe there's other ways. They don't believe what he said, that he's the truth. And you don't need this life. There's other life you can have that would lead you to God. And there's a lot of deception out here going on. And so you have this life and it is realizing that man needs the life of God. In other words, you and I became through, really did through a birth, an actual birth, a spiritual birth took place. The nature that you had as a sinner is gone. You don't have it. That's why people say we're just old sinners saved by grace. That man is a total lie because that nature no longer exists. When you got born again, you don't have the nature of death anymore. You're not a child of the devil. You're actually literally became a child of God. That's what happened. You've been born. The Bible calls it being born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit caused you to be born again. And in fact, I mean, this is where people don't understand or get over there. Really, from a spiritual nature, my physical body has been in this earth since January 13th, 1950, has been born into this earth. But my spiritual birth only took place in January of 1980. My spirit did not exist up till that time. So you need to understand that. As up to the time that you got born again, your spiritual nature was death at the time of birth, your birth. When you got born again, you changed spiritual nature. You no longer, that nature is dead. That's why the Bible deals and talks about the person's died, you know, and now they're made alive in Christ Jesus. They actually die. Their spirit nature died. That nature is gone. It doesn't exist. So, I mean, I could sit today and, you know, I'm a little over 35 years old spiritually. I am actually a new creation. See, people take this as figurative speech in the Bible. It's not figurative. Spiritually, it's absolutely 100% literal. You're a new creation. The day you got born again, you became a new creation. That's it. I mean, you did not exist spiritually before that time. That's why when the Bible talks about the removal of sin as far as the east from the west, they're trying to explain the idea. It's gone. You can never run into it again. Why? It's dead. It's left. You don't have that nature. You can't run into your old spiritual nature. Now, see, you have, in Christianity, you'll hear things taught like people say, well, the old man tries to rise up. I'm sorry, the old man cannot rise up again. It can't happen. Now, my flesh, which is still has the nature of death, I ain't got the new one yet, that may try to rise up. But there's not, I mean, you're totally defeated and cannot have victory if you believe the old nature can rise up on you again, that the old spiritual nature can. If it can, I don't know what success you could possibly have. I don't understand it. I mean, if the old nature, that means death can reign in you again. I'm sorry, ain't happening. And see, but the whole thing about it is, even though people have spiritual life, their mind has never been renewed, and they still live and can't believe beyond death. They can't believe beyond spiritual death. They think they still have it. They're waiting, and that's why, you know, ministers will go out here at a funeral and say, now the person's entered into eternal life. No, they didn't. If they didn't have it, they ain't going to get it. You can do all you want. It ain't happening. It's something that you are at the time of your death. You are God's child. You already have the nature of life. Your DNA is God's DNA. That's why God takes His people. Because you're of the same nature as Him. People who haven't accepted Christ can't go to heaven because they're as different from God as you are from an amoeba. There's no way. God is, you know, they're not His children. I mean, they're not the same species. And see, get that within yourself is the fact that you're the same species God is. That's what you got. You are just like God. You have been born to communicate with God, to commune with God. That's the way you've been made. That's the way you are. That's you. See, you're not trying to study the Bible and learn the Bible from the standpoint of trying to get to commune with God, other than the standpoint we gain knowledge of how to. It's just like a child is born into the earth. When my daughters were born into the earth, they were our kids. They didn't become our kids after a while when they accepted it or whatever. They were born that way and they were our kids. Well, you know, they had to learn and develop so we could commune and talk with each other. You know, we didn't have to, except people today, I think they go back into childhood. But is they developed, and as they develop, they learn how to commune, to talk to us, and learn how to socialize in the world. But that was their nature to do that. All they had to do was learn about it. And once they learned about things, and they could comprehend it. And that's what you're doing. Never look at your study in the Bible because you're trying to become, this is most Christians, their idea is they're studying the Bible so like they're trying to get to God. If you ain't already got to God, forget it. Don't bother reading it. Get saved, become a child of God, then it's helpful. But see, we're just learning information so we can understand how He is and so we can have the relationship that He's already given to us. It's there. I mean, you're not going to become more of a child of God. You can't. I mean, my kids couldn't become more of my children by growing up. That's it. And so, see, many people are, the whole thing is they do is they approach the Bible wrong to begin with. They approach it like a sinner. They approach it like somebody that don't belong to God. And they're trying to get to God. You know, it's like Christians, you know, praying, it just don't seem like God's hearing me. It's like the whole thing of it is, see, they're doing all this stuff down here, acting like God's withholding or God's separated from them. You know, our kids, they never had to try to get to us. I know they pretty well got to us when they were born. Pretty well worked, didn't it? Well, and get into that same kind of thinking. It was, are human parents, were they better than God? But yet, you go to most churches, a human parent, they'd say, well, anybody, you get a parent go out here and kill their child and think what the average person thinks of them. Yet the average Christian worships a God and believes he does that stuff. So I know this. Most of Christianity don't know God. Even though they're born of God. Have no clue. They're still down there going, goo goo gaga. That's their Christianity. They have no idea whether their parent would neglect them. They have no idea whether... They think God will kill them. For a purpose. Yep. Yep, he kills my kids because he loves me so much. I mean, say the most perverted things. And not knowing. And it's because of these subjects they know nothing about them. They don't know anything about this thing. They think God is death. They don't know that God is life. You know, did we find any place in our search here that John taught in anywhere that God was death? But the church believes it. Generally they do. He's death. He's not life. And so, praise God, we have this life, we've obtained it just because, now just think it, you got this all because of faith. You didn't have to earn it. And see, that's why you have to watch in your approach to scriptures. People study the Bible sometimes trying to earn things from God. You know, we diligently study the word. Our diligence isn't based on trying to get God to like us or anything. Our diligence is so we can find out about him. And so we can hook up with him the way, you know, and get the blessings that he has for us. It's not because I got to do this because I got to earn reward. Because then it comes down to righteousness by works. You can't get righteousness by works through faith in Christ because righteousness is given to you at the day you were born again. The nature of God is righteous. You couldn't have been born in any other nature or you would have a different nature and you wouldn't be his. So that's your nature. Praise God, he's good. Now, back over in 1 John, in the first chapter, and we read before us, where John had made this statement concerning this, and we read, it says the life was manifested. In other words, this life of God was manifested. He said in verse 2, he says, we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and manifested to us. In other words, he said, so Jesus is called the life, and really, life in itself, Jesus became life, God's life in human form. That's what he was. He was the life of God in human form. He was in person. I mean, light. He was a man. He's life. And so human form. Now, you and I have a human form. Our human form doesn't have the life. But, you know, people talk about God was incarnated in a man. You need to understand the incarnation has never stopped. Do you have God in you? Is God incarnate in you? Oh, yeah. See, if you said that to most Christians today, they would, oh, heresy. Oh, blasphemy. Get the rocks. We're going to stone them. Yep, here we go. They're talking nuts out here. No, you're not. You need to understand. God is incarnated in men. Does God live in you? Is that true? Yeah, then God's incarnated in men, isn't he? You're born again and God's in you. God's still living in man. It ain't stopped. It's still working. There's an incarnation. Hallelujah. It's good there is. Now, back over to is in the Gospel of John again from the first chapter. In verse 4, John made this statement. Said concerning Christ, speaking of Christ, it says, in him was life. And life was, what was that life? It was the light of men. So in Jesus Christ was life, and that life. And so in other words, if we look now on this side, on the new birth where you have this life is the light of men. In other words, men cannot have light without life. Life always comes first. This is why you don't try to teach sinners. What you do is you preach the gospel. That's why the gospel was always preached to the sinner in the Bible. To receive Christ. Why? When men have life, it is only natural they get light. That just comes with it. God is like, we learn about God as light. See, when you have the right life, you have light. It's just how it works. So this life of God, when you get the life of God, then men naturally get light. And if anybody wants light of God, the first thing they need to do is get life. If they don't get life, that's why in the world, you know, it doesn't work. It's like the natural light reflects off of objects so we can see that object. That's what it does. I mean, anything we look at this room, any of the colors we see is because of reflected light. You know, if you see, you know, any color here, that means there are certain colors that are absorbed by whatever is, but we only see the light is reflected, whether it's color or whatever it is. You only see reflected light. If everything you looked at had all light rays reflected from it, everything would look identical. You could tell the difference between nothing. Everything would be the same. Everything you looked at. But it doesn't only reflected light. Zoe, or the life of God, that is light. And that light allows people to comprehend God. In other words, just as natural light brings reflection, you need that life for God's light to reflect on you so you can see God and you can comprehend or understand God. You have to have that life. That's what is needed. This is why it's an impossibility there could be another way to God. You couldn't then, if there's another way, how could somebody get there? They'd be totally ignorant. They couldn't figure it out. How would they know if would get there? Because they couldn't understand without getting the life. That's what is being taught here. So you get the life first. You know, it's just like there are some, it's maybe been back about 5 or more years ago. Some people asked me to go talk, if I would go with them and talk to a gentleman. He was living in one of these elderly housing places, you know, and that stuff, and go talk to this guy. And he was just having all kind of trouble understanding things about the Bible and all kind of stuff. And they said, well, he's a Christian and all this stuff. And I got there. Oh, he's a Christian. Yes, I believe in Jesus. He said this. Okay, I believe in Jesus. Well, because he said, I believe in Jesus. And you need to understand, there's loads of people believe in Jesus. But they ain't saved. The devil believes in Jesus. He ain't saved. Believing in Jesus doesn't save you. You got to do what the Word says about believing to be saved. And this is where the ignorance of Christianity. They think because somebody says, I believe something, that therefore that makes it. That doesn't. The Bible tells us what to do. Well, after sitting talking with the man a while, I realized the reason he's having all this trouble, he's not born again. He's not a child of God. He's never been born again. Because he doesn't believe what the Bible says about being born again. He don't believe it's true. He's saying, this man, and just to prove this, the thing about life and light. This man is not born again. He has loads of Kenneth Hagin books, Kenneth Copeland books, all these different Charles Capps. He has all this stuff. He had notebook after notebook of study he did in those boats and wrote down stuff. I mean, this guy had notebooks and notes. He's sitting there. Yet, nothing made sense to him. He said, I can't grasp things. I'm sitting there listening to this guy talk, and he's going on and on. And these other two, this couple that's with me, they believe totally this man's born again. And I finally stopped him, and I said, listen, I want to ask you, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, he said, I believe on Jesus. I said, no, that's not what I ask you. I want to know. I said, here's what the Bible says. You've got to believe that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. I said, you believe that? He said, I don't believe in that resurrection stuff. Ding! I stopped right now, and I just right there, and I told him, I said, look, you can read all these books you want. You can study them all you want. You will never comprehend God. You can't. Most Christians think that if you can hand a sinner material, he'll get it. Most Christians have no idea about the Bible. They don't know how it works. Now, I'm not saying it to be mean to people. They're not taught. Nobody, today, you get what salvation, you know, and things that people even say about how to get saved. They don't even tell you what the Bible says. And what happened was this guy, and when I asked him, I don't believe in the resurrection. So I said, okay, just like you say from human resurrection. In other words, you don't believe what the Bible says about Lazarus being raised from the dead, that Jesus raised him. I said, you don't believe? Well, you know, that's questionable. Well, I said, there's no way that you... I said, you might as well just quit this until you believe, decide that the Bible's true and believe it's so. I said, you need to be born again, and you can't get born again without believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. This is why people out there, oh, just ask Jesus into your heart. They don't tell people, you got to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's what it says. You got to believe that in your heart. I mean, the Bible says it. Today you're told you don't have to. You can just take Jesus however you want. You just provide out. You just say, I believe. That's all you. Well, believe what? What do you believe? Well, I found this a long time ago. You got to believe what the Bible says. It's not believe what Ed says. It's what the Bible says. You believe that, you'll be saved. And so you have to believe that things right. That's why people need to be told what's right, leading people to salvation. So this man could not get any light. He couldn't get light at all. He had done all that studying. You just seen the library of books that guy had. The hours and hours that he must have spent studying and reading, because he didn't just read those books. He studied those books. Yet he couldn't get things out of it. He couldn't just... Why was it? He never had the life. So there was no light. You can't get light without the life. That's the way it is. Can't be a chicken till you've been born a chicken. You know? That's it. Then you cluck. Makes sense. If you're a hen, you go lay eggs. That's what you do. I mean, that's it. You can't, you're literally two different species. The species of darkness cannot understand. This is why many Christians don't realize, and they get over, and because of not understanding, they look at the world out here, and how can they do that? They're in darkness. They sin because that's their nature. That's what they are. They don't realize they can't they see that they're doing wrong? Well, if they did, they'd be a Christian. Hold it. Let's stop. And that's why we're talking. You know, would you go out here and say, you know, that we don't understand why that dog barks. Why does he bark? Shouldn't he meow like a cat? I mean, shouldn't he? Well, people see, well, what's wrong with you? Are you absurd? Well, in a sense, Christians have been absurd. Because they have no knowledge of who or what they are. They think every human being is like they are. They think, and it's not. We're walking around people all the time. They're a different spiritual species. They see things totally different than you do. They believe different than you do. And they can't come, they'll never believe like you do till they come to the light. They have to have the life first. They got to come to life in Christ Jesus. They must be born again. Jesus said, "You must be born again." He wasn't kidding. It was true. And you got born again. Understand, you're born again. What a powerful thing happened to you. Phenomenal. You're not like everybody else out here. I'm going to go back again in John, to the Gospel of John, something that Jesus made mention, because we'll read some things from John. Jesus said to John, he said, in John, the fifth chapter, fifth chapter in verse 24, he said, "Most assuredly," he said, "I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but pass from death unto life." In other words, the words that Jesus said, in other words, the deal with salvation he's talking about. When people come and they believe this, he said, these ones, what they have everlasting life or this God life. They have this, the ones who believe what his words say. And so these ones who, it's just like a guy I was telling you about, he didn't believe what the words said. He didn't believe in the resurrection. He didn't believe it. Well, he couldn't have the light, could he? He couldn't have Zoe. Jesus just said here, these ones do that believe. He said, they shall not come into judgment. In other words, these ones understand the judgment concerning sin. The Christian is never going to face the judgment before God of whether or not they're a child of God or not. They don't come. The Bible tells us we're judged from the standpoint of what we've done in the flesh, but we're not judged from the standpoint of whether we're Christians or not. This is one of the great things is you need to understand the Bible. When they talk about not judging, lots of times the Bible's talking about judging a sinner, whether he's a sinner. There's no point in judging a sinner because they're sinners, they're lost anyhow. They're lost. And so people use this judgment. He's talking about here from the judgment. There will not be a day, one day, that God will judge us of whether we're going to go to heaven or hell. That'll never happen. The sinner stands under the judgment of God, and he's going to receive the wrath of God. The New Testament says that the sinner is going to receive the wrath of God. That's his judgment for not receiving Christ. He gets the judgment of what happens to ones who have spiritual death. That's what they get. And that's what we were under till we became children of God. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming." Now, understand, he said, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And he said, "And those who hear will live." Jesus is talking what's going to happen. He's talking about something that an hour. He's talking about the hour's coming. In other words, it wasn't going to be long. Jesus is what? Going to the cross. He's going to die, raised from the dead. This hour's coming. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And who's he talking about dead? He's not talking about physically dead people. He's talking about the spiritual dead will hear the voice of God. You and I were spiritually dead and we heard the voice of God. Because Jesus raised it. The gospel was preached to us. We heard the voice of God. It says, and those who hear what will live. He's not talking about physical resurrection here. This is talking about a spiritual thing that's going to take place. See, you have life now. You're not going to get it. You have eternal life. He's talking about it. He said, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. So the spiritual dead, we heard the voice. These ones, they will have this Zoe, this eternal life. So the Father gave this Zoe. He gave it to his Son, Jesus. And whoever believes on Jesus, they are given this same life. That's what they're given. It's just a pass on from the Father to the Son and to you. That's where it went to. The Father, the Son, to you. The Father gave Jesus the life through his work and what he did, through faith in him. Then we are given that same life. You have it. So this is the life that you have right now. You have this spiritual life. You were spiritually dead. You were raised. See, that's what, from the standpoint of water baptism, is a type of dying to, in sin and being raised to life spiritually. That's what it's a symbol of. It's a symbol that you died. The real you is dead. The real you died, and now you're a new life. You were raised in a new life. You know, Jesus, this is what a lot of people don't understand. When Jesus took on the sin nature, he had to do this. Jesus took in his nature spiritual death. Jesus hadn't sinned, but he took spiritual death on. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. His resurrection, what made us have life, is not because he was physically raised from the dead. It was because he was spiritually raised from the dead. If Jesus Christ was not spiritually raised from the dead, then you cannot be either. And you will not get a new body. Jesus didn't sin and cause sin himself and die spiritually, but he died with our sin. And he took on the nature of death and went to hell with the nature of death. And when he was raised with Zoe. Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, he came back and then had the glorified body and everything. He was raised a different. The Bible says he was the firstborn from the dead. It doesn't say he was the first raised from the dead. It says he was the firstborn from the dead. He was the firstborn again. Jesus Christ was the first to be born again. When he took our sin, he needed to be born again. If he wasn't born again and he came out with the same nature that he had, then he had death because he took our death. Jesus Christ was raised. He was the firstborn from the dead. And the Bible tells you, there's all of us after. I don't know what number I was. There's many, many were before me and before you. But he was the first who was born from the dead. It didn't say raised from the dead, born. If he wasn't born from the dead, he would have never got the new body. There would have never been a glorified body. All those things would have not mattered. He was born from the dead. So the day came when you accepted Christ and you were born from spiritual death. Born from it. Hallelujah. So you don't have it anymore. That's good news. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. Jesus, in John the 11th chapter, in verse 25 and 26, Jesus said this. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, I mean, think about this. Could he have been talking here about physical death? Could he? If he did, if he was talking about physical death, then how come there's Christians die? He said, you'll never die. What's he talking about? Never die here has to do. He's talking about this everlasting life. You don't have spiritual death, you'll never have it. You're a believer. We believed on Jesus Christ. We received the life that he had. We found out it was God gave it to him and he gave it to us through faith in him. We have that life. He said, whoever lives and believes in him shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, see, I've heard people say, well, see, you know the Bible's not true because it says you'll never die. Well, you going to ever die? They don't know. See, people don't know what's talking about. I'm not surprised a sinner would come say that to me, but I've had Christians ask me about it because they don't understand the new birth. They don't know what it is. You know, up in heaven, we need to understand this. God doesn't look at his children as being dead. He doesn't view it like we do. And this is why many Christians mourn so terribly when loved ones die. Because they don't understand the Bible. They don't have light. They're not taught light. They look at the person as being dead. The person ain't dead. They don't have a body, but they ain't dead at all. In fact, getting rid of that old rag off of them, man, life is much better. But see, when most believers believe being in here on the earth on this side is much better. They do. They believe this is the thing. They don't understand. That's why Paul said, hey, man, depart and be with Christ is far better. Why? I get this body off me. Oh, there I'm with Christ. Glory to God. Why? You have life. And understand that we are going to get a new body one day. We will have a new body. But you don't get a new body if you don't have life. That if you aren't already alive, the real you, your inner man, is the real you. And get this one thing. A body is a place that houses your inner man. That's all it is. And the Bible calls it a house, depending on which translation. King James calls it a tent. You know, different thing. But that's all it is. Your human body, my body sitting right here, the only purpose of this thing is for my spirit to live in this earth, I have to live in this body. That's why when people die, they can't stay here. Because you don't have authority in this earth other than through your body, your physical. That's why demons want to possess people. This is why God wants to possess you. Because the more he can operate in you, the more he can carry out his will in the earth. That's why he had to send Jesus as a man. He couldn't carry out his will without Jesus being a man. He needed a human body because the human body is really, I've heard it said many times, is the badge of authority in the earth. When a person dies, their spirit cannot stay here. You can watch those shows on television and they talk about people who didn't leave. That's all big lies. That is all not the truth. Those are demons they're dealing with. They're dealing with demons. And those are familiar spirits. Those spirits are familiar with the individuals who lived here. And they know things about those people and they can manifest things about those people. And they think they're dealing with that individual. No, you're not. You're dealing with a demon. No human spirit can stay in this earth. It cannot stay here. It either goes to heaven or hell. It has to leave. It has no authority to be here. Satan and his cohorts still have authority as spirit beings to be here. But either God nor Satan can operate through people without them allowing it. People have to do things that allow spirits to operate through them. They have to do stuff. And see, people get over into sin. Open the door to things. One of the things, like with me, alcoholism is one of the things. Drugs is a big thing that uses. Now, they're not the only things, but for demons to operate through people, they open you up to things you probably wouldn't necessarily open yourself up to and do. When they get drunk, they just, man, they're a different person. That's right. And why they get open to things they would never do, and the devil, after a while, most people that, you'll never meet a person who's an alcoholic, don't have a demon problem. There's never any such person on the face of the earth. They got a demon problem. That's why they're alcoholics. They got over on that thing. People say, oh, they're just addicted to alcohol. Well, go ahead and believe that. That's why they'll turn around and they'll deal with these things. If a person don't get born again, they have to go to AA and fight all their life trying not to drink. When I got born again, I changed natures. I no longer had a demon in me. And you know what? Ed wasn't a drunk no more. You know what we're taught today? People don't expect, and I don't think people get born again. They're told, you know, you're going to need a 12-step program and you're going to, Christians. And you know, they're not preached deliverance. I was preached deliverance to me that I got saved, I'd be changed. They aren't teach that today. Your sins will be forgiven, but you're still the scumbag old drunk you were. So that demon he can just hound you all the time. He's allowed to because they preach to you that he can. They didn't realize, but that's what they did. They didn't say that. But they basically told you, you're going to still be bound. See, if you're on drugs, you're just bound. That's it. Now, free yourself. See, man, who needs God if I got to do it? Ain't that right? I mean, it's like, dear Lord, give me a break, people. Things are messed up. So, we believe. John 17, in the 17th chapter, Jesus prayed this. In John 17, chapter 3rd verse, Jesus said this. And this is eternal life. What's eternal life? That you may know, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. What's eternal life? Eternal life is so you can know God. Without eternal life, you can't know God. Jesus said it. Jesus said, you got eternal life. Why? Now you can know God. In other words, a person who does not have eternal life cannot know God. That's why we preach the gospel to sinners for them to get saved. Why? So then they can know God. You can't know God without first coming to Jesus Christ. So that's something that we have to do. We have to first come to Christ. We get the life. Hallelujah. So you know this. You got the life. And this is why God said, Jesus said when he left, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to take what's mine and show it to you. Jesus Christ is the Word. So the Holy Spirit is in you for the express purpose to reveal God to you. That's why he's there. He shows you in the Word and reveals to you God. That's why when anybody comes along and says, I'm a Christian, I believe, I read the Word, but I don't seem to get anything out of it, I can tell them right now, are you sure you're born again? Number one. You know, don't take because a person tells you that they're born again, they're born again. Because I can take them over these scriptures. I can say, hey, look, you're supposed to have life so you can know God. You said I read the scriptures and I can't know. So number one, I realize sometimes people, it's because they're ignorance. You ask them, do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Yes. They say, what is he, just a hitchhiker? You know, don't he do nothing? He's pretty lazy, isn't he? You walk around and say, I read the Bible and I don't get nothing out of it. Well, you have that, got that in your heart. Now you say it and you believe it. You can't learn a thing. You can't learn nothing because you keep talking against the Bible. The Holy Spirit was given to you so you know God. You're sitting around saying, he don't show me. He's lazy. He's just a hitchhiker. He just came along. He don't do nothing, he said. He just... You see, people do those things. They wonder why things don't work. But you have to find out. I found, it's like this guy. I found out that guy. He wasn't, the reason he couldn't learn, he wasn't saved. Loads of people out here believe they're Christians and are not. And that's why nothing changes in their life. Somebody just told them, well, you know, do this and, you know, just believe on Jesus. Yeah, I do. I believe on Jesus. They take a mental ascent about mentally ascending the fact of Jesus, who Jesus was. That don't save you. You got to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. And loads of times they don't. They just, people say this. They, you know, and they've been told. I mean, I go around, well, and I hear preachers say this. God accepts you the way you are. No, he don't. I mean, from the start, you got to be born again. He don't accept you the way you are. He will not accept you with the nature of sin. He won't accept it. It's like, you know, I sit down this week and I think, my God, what Bible do these people read? They're full of religion. They're full of just this nice religious cliche stuff. Sounds good, but I watch the people who go to these churches and believe it. You know what? They live up to the standards that's preached to them. God accepts me the way I am, a scumbag. You know? Even if they get saved, they think it's okay to live any old way they want. God accepts me the way I am. I don't want anybody to show me that in Scripture. It's not there. And it'll never be there. I want to read down through here from 2 Timothy, the first chapter. I want to read verses 8 through 10 through 2 Timothy. The 8th verse, just to read some, because we want to look at what God did. It says in 1 Timothy 8:10, it says, therefore, verse 8 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner. He said, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And he says, but has now been revealed. So this Jesus has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life, that's eternal life, and immortality to light through the gospel. What did he say? He bought life. Life was brought first. Then he says immortality. And immortality, that deals with the body. I mean, one day you and I are going to get a new body. There will be immortality. But we need to, because he's dealing with immortality, deals with mortal being turned to immortal. So the immortality is something. Right now, you and I are mortal. Have you checked? We're mortal. Last time I looked, I'm mortal. But that's going to be changed. Now, they have been introduced, but it's introduced first through the life of God that has been brought into the earth. So God brought that here. Now, if we would look what is saying concerning Satan and his work in Hebrews, what God did to Satan in Hebrews, the second chapter. So God did. God brought life into the earth. That's what he has through Christ. People have this life. In Hebrews, the second chapter, and in verse 14, makes this statement. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that what? Through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. How did he do it? Through death. It wasn't just through physical death. Now understand this. Jesus could not die physically till he took on spiritual death. He was like Adam was. Adam's body would have never died if he sinned, if he wouldn't have sinned, because the nature of sin wouldn't have taken over in him, and his body wouldn't have had the effect of the nature of sin. But see, you and I come into this earth with the nature of sin, so we're stuck coming in. Why? That was because of sin in the beginning. Every human has that. Every human. Jesus was born differently in the earth. He didn't have the nature of man. He was born of the seed of God, and he didn't have the nature of death. He was born into the earth with eternal life. So his body wasn't the body, the seed from Adam. His body was the seed from God. So his physical body was born into the earth, but he didn't have the sin nature. And it wasn't until he took on the sin nature that he could die. And he took on death. When he took that death on, the whole purpose was he destroyed through death and his resurrection, he destroyed the power of death. It's destroyed, and that is the devil. That power has been destroyed. Anybody who accepts Jesus Christ can have God's life. Satan can't stop that. He has no power to stop that. He can't keep a person from being saved. If a person chooses to accept Christ, he can do nothing about it. He can't stop a person from having life. That power over him was destroyed the day that Jesus Christ was rose from the dead. That power has been destroyed. He no longer has that. Is in we had read many times in from 1 John, the third chapter, verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil. And now he's talking about sin as from a person who, because listen, you got to read the whole verse and what it says. He's talking about a person who is the nature of sin. He says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. He said, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ became manifest in the earth to destroy the devil's work, and the devil's work was spiritual death. That's why men sin. That's why he said the guy who sins, he's talking about a person who has the nature of sin. A person who has the nature of sin, that person, the devil dominates and rules. But the person who receives Christ, Jesus Christ destroyed the works of the devil. Now, I want just quick share quickly through some things in here, because when we deal with the areas of eternal life, we deal with, there's really moral implications here when we talk about having life. The Bible tells us that in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. This is written to Christians. It says, but the gift of God, what is eternal life through Jesus Christ? Sin and death are inseparable. The wages of sin brings death. Because the Bible says about we reap what we sow. It says if we sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption. In this earth, while you and I, even though believers, we have the nature of life in us, we can reap the manifestations of death in the earth and the things that go with sin by following sin. We need to understand that. There's moral ramifications to this. Even though you and I have life, we need to understand you have to live and walk in the life. In that life, if we don't, can really cause problems. That's why is a person can be a Christian is like we talked before about the fact of and looked at the church at Corinth, where there they were as Christians, but they weren't living right. And he said, many are weak and sick and die prematurely. What happened? See, we need to understand that our actions outside, our actions and things that we do, the way a person lives, produces things in this earth. This is why the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. If you stay over it, you have to live in the eternal life side. The wages of sin will always be death. That never changes. It'll work death in people. It's just like if I live in sin, it's going to work against me. It'll produce things that I don't want. And so we got to live over there. We need to be careful about what fruit we produce in this earth. So we have to live right and walk right. Look in the book of Hebrews, what it says in the book of Hebrews. I want to read this to you in the Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And it tells us something about living. This, understand, these things are written to Christians. This isn't written to the world. This is written to us as Christians. And 12th chapter, verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. He wrote that to Christians about holiness. He said, look, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. Now listen to what he says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Christians are warned about selling out their birthright. In other words, a Christian can go too far, where they'll turn around and sin will so captivate an individual that they leave faith in Christ Jesus. He warns Christians. This is why there's more. This is why sin will only lead to sin. Sin never leads to righteousness. It never happened. He said, "For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." Esau sold out his birthright for some of the food. His birthright, he was supposed to have what Jacob had. He gave up being the father of really the nation of Israel for food. He went out and married heathen women. He wasn't supposed to. He went and did it. His dad was going to give him the birthright while he married heathen women, worshipped other gods. And his dad was going to give him the birthright. His mom was the only one that had any sense to know that you don't give it, you don't do that. And they always talk about, they deceived Isaac. Isaac was deceived. He was already deceived. Thank God Mama Rebecca had good sense, more than he did. And if Mama would not have had the sense, there would not be an Israel. There wouldn't have been one. God would have had to start all over again. Thank God somebody had good sense. But see, the Bible says this clearly, New Testament. God loved Jacob and hated Esau. He hated what Esau did. Esau treated God's blessing on him. This guy wanted the blessing. He wanted to have all the good things that God had, but he wanted to live like hell. I live like hell, but I get the blessing. This is the warning to the church. You can't do that. It don't work in the earth. Because Christians today believe they can do that. They believe you can live like hell and still have the blessing. You'll seek it with tears and you still won't get it. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Listen here to what Peter wrote in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. This is written again to Christians. This is written to us. It's a warning to Christians. We're not going to live any old way we want. Like, why would we want to have life and just go want to live any old way? I don't understand why people want to do that. It's beyond me, but a lot of people do things, ignorance and that stuff, and they're taught wrong, and it is wonderful to want to believe. I mean, people have choices today. We have preachers that preach the truth, and we have preachers that preach junk. Some people, they want the junk because that means, hey, well, so-and-so said I can do this. Well, what's the Bible say? Well, who cares what the Bible says? He said I can. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 10 says, Peter's writing to Christians, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit." In other words, control what you say. Walk. See, people talk about, well, they're refraining his tongue from evil and say, well, just saying bad things. Walking around. You know, it's a bad thing to walk around. Well, God wants me sick for a reason. That's evil. Is that true? See, people look like, oh, this is just, oh, I don't do cuss words. Man, I went around Christians, they may as well cussed. It would have been no worse than what they've been saying. The death that they talk all the time, the garbage that is coming out of their mouth, really leading to their own demise. And this is what he's talking about. You know, speaking to Satan, he said, let him, this individual, turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Now listen what it says about the Lord. Now see, today, a lot of people don't believe this. We don't believe, lots of people don't believe like Peter. Peter said, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. People, oh no, he's not. Yeah, you're a Christian. God will always just listen to you anytime anyway. Did Peter say that worked? Nope. It is one thing to miss the mark, but you can't get over living an evil lifestyle. You can't go there. People can't do it. I know a person telling me about, you know, a woman said she's a Christian. She's living with a man. She knows it's wrong. You shouldn't. She's been living for years with a man. You know what her saying? She said, I ask the Lord every day to forgive me for it. Like, that's going to work. Like, I can just continue. As long as I ask him to forgive him, okay. I can keep doing evil and end up with good. I mean, it's insanity. But you know what? There's loads of Christians that believe like that. There's loads of ministers that believe like that. Well, she's asking for forgiveness. God will forgive her. No, sin must be repent. The word repent doesn't ask for forgiveness. Repentance means to turn from. In fact, it means to turn around. Has she turned around? Nah, she's never repented. She's staying in sin. She's walking in darkness and says, I can have fellowship with God and live in darkness. I can do that. Well, I'm sorry. I done read the Bible. See, your religion might say that, but that's only religion. That's only religion. That's not Christianity. Christianity is based on the teachings of Christ. And so, but, so people out here, there are people that are in trouble. We need to understand, we could go through and teach a lot of different things and go into more detail into this subject over here. But we need to know that the Bible specifically speaks on a lifestyle. And this is why. We learn the Word of God so we understand how we can walk with God. It'll change your life. You can't have a changed life if you don't change what you believe. You can't have that. It won't work. You're going to live in the light of what you had. I just got a thing from a minister, and I mean, wonderful lady minister I know. In fact, years ago, we had her on our church one time. She's really good ministry from a standpoint. But she's writing, you know, different things, and she sends out these emails and that stuff that'll have different, you know, little teachings, just sometimes good ideas and things about things for Christians can do to help their development and stuff. But she just sent this one out, and I saw it. She said, you know, find a good church. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, I mean, let's say you get a baby Christian. Would a baby Christian know what a good church is? You know, would Braden know what's the right school he needs to go to? I see a minister write that, I think, you just sent people down the road to a hell church. Because they're going to find this seems nice down here. Because most people don't know about listening to their spirit. They don't know a thing about it. They're coming in the kingdom and somebody says, you go find a good church. No, you pray and you ask God to direct you. God, where do I need to go? God never allowed me ever in my entire Christian life to pick a church. He never allowed me to pick one. There's things I did. I picked things. But he never did allow me to. And because it would direct you to a wrong, you. If I would have listened years ago, there was a church here in town. Well, the church still exists, but everybody was raving over this church and raving, oh, this is a great church to go to and this and that. And we were looking around to go to church, and I wanted to go to church. And the Lord would at that time not direct me to a certain church of where to go. And I'm asking him about going to church, and all these people, this church is a wonderful church. one Sunday, I got Wanda and the kids up, and we got up, and we're going to church. And I'm going to take them to this church. We're going to that church. And we drove to that church and drove into the parking lot. But the whole time, I knew inside of me was saying, don't you go there. Don't you go there. And I want you to tell you, all these spirit-filled people, I mean, all over the place. Oh, that's a wonderful church. It's a wonderful church. Well, we drove in the parking lot. And I thank God as a young Christian, I wanted God to deal with me and work with me. And I'll never forget, inside me, a voice got loud and said, you go into this church, it's going to cost you, and it's going to cost your family. And I just drove right out in the parking lot and drove out. I said, Wanda, we can't go. I said, the Lord told me to stay out of here. Well, thank God. I wouldn't have known at the time. It turns out that wasn't a good church at all. There was things going on in there with the pastor and stuff in that church, stuff that was going on and happened. And, I watched over time as I finally grew some more. I started watching the people go to that church. And you know what? Most of them were carnal. When I came in the kingdom, they'd all talk about loving God. Oh, they loved church. And, oh, they love all. But they loved a lot of stuff that was wrong. And it cost them. I watched what it cost some of the people. It cost them their family. It cost them their kids. It cost them all kind of things that you would have never, because they made a determination to do that following after their flesh. And I thank God I didn't do that, because you can't follow the flesh without having payment for it. Because you'll do things in the flesh and it'll cost you. It'll cost. So what you want to find out is to do. And people say, well, how do you walk in the flesh, or you walk in the spirit? Walking in the spirit is not some technically hard thing. If you're doing what the Bible said, you're walking in the spirit. You don't have to be walking in some goosebumps and woo-woo something or other. If you are doing what the Bible said to do, you're walking in the spirit. Now, the only thing that makes people hard walking in the spirit, because most of the time what the Bible says is opposite what everybody else is saying. That's the difficulty to people. People, it's this over here, if I do what the Word says, everybody else says, no, you ought to be doing this. What the Bible says. Oh, yeah, the Bible says that, but, so-and-so said you can do this. But that's what's spiritual. Being spiritual isn't... There's many of people walking around here, they haven't had visions and dreams and stuff, but they walk in the light of the Word they have. They're spiritual people. They're walking in the light that they have. They're spiritual. It's when people out here live by the flesh and don't walk in the light of the Word of God, that's where they get them in all this trouble. So it's easy. You just follow what the Bible says to do and live that kind of life. You're spiritual. Now, lots of people have a different idea of what spirituality is. They think it's being spiritual. They think being spiritual is, I had a vision. Well, great. I've had visions, but that don't make me spiritual. I know men, I've listened to men talk about Jesus appeared to them. And I'll tell you what, they never lived good. So having a vision of Jesus didn't change a thing, did it? What makes you spiritual is walking in line with the Word. So this is why we get into Scripture. God gives us light. We can walk right. Jesus told Kenneth E. Hagin in 1987. He spoke to him and told him this in the vision that he had dealing with plans, purposes, and pursuits. And he said his perfect will. And he just said that he told Kenneth Hagin, he said, and you've heard me say this before, but it is just a wonderful thing to always keep in the forefront of your mind. He said, my perfect will has my full blessing. My perfect will. Jesus Christ said this. You never have to pray and ask me to bless you if you're in my perfect will. You know what? If you're not in his perfect will, you're going to have to try to get blessed. Now, he said this. Jesus said, I try to bless my people as much as I can. But he said, my full blessing is on my perfect will. He said, if you walk there, you never have to ask him to bless you. You can just receive as much blessing as you want. You just take whatever you want. That's the full blessing. See, people today think, well, if I come to a great knowledge of God, I can have his full blessing. No, if you don't walk in the and do obey what God has told us to do, then we aren't fully blessed. We're not going to be fully blessed. It isn't just having knowledge. There's a lot of people know a lot of things about the Bible. But that doesn't mean that those individuals are walking in line with the Word of God and they can get blessing. That's why some people get really discouraged. Well, I know so much. How come things aren't working for me? Well, are you doing what God said for you to do? Are you walking in the light of things? Are the Word that you do know, are you doing it? See, that's what's really important. As we develop and grow, always follow what you do know. It doesn't matter how much you know. God's mostly interested in you walk in line with what you do know. You know, it's no use getting more knowledge. You know, you can get huge blessings from God just by walking in what you know. I mean, my baby Christian life is 100% proof of that. Of the things God did for me and Wanda. Some of the most phenomenal things were done. You know, I was going along. When I went to Bible school, I mean, what God did in blessing, just to following in his will. Now, surely I didn't know near what I know today. But God blessed like crazy. Well, I was just walking in the light of what I knew. I was in his will as much as I understood. And he treated me as walking in his perfect will because I was walking in what he had revealed to me. That's all I was doing. He couldn't reveal everything to me. Man, it took time to reveal some things to me. I'm a little swift, you know. I don't know about you. I was a little slow to catch on some things. But hallelujah, he was always good. He always blessed. And understand that. That's where it's at. Don't get into the righteousness by works thing. And don't think, you know, just like whether it's gifts of the Spirit or manifestations of the Holy Ghost and things like that working through you. Most Christians, you have to come to this great place of spirituality, then God will operate through you. Well, the Church of Corinth, he said they came behind in no gift. Well, if that's the truth, then how come the carnal is crazy? See, the gifts didn't work because of works. The gifts work because of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll cooperate with them, they'll work. But we need to understand the fact of, you know, that people are sitting around and turning righteousness into works by, if I can finally get to achieve all these things and do all this stuff, then I can really get blessed. And they miss out on all the blessing that they could have just by walking in God's will. And look, it's just like our kids growing up. When our kids were obedient, I would do anything for them. When they just walked in what we had taught them to do, when they just lived and did obeyed like Mom and I told them, we'd do anything for them. You'd just help them out in any way. Well, we didn't expect out of them what an adult, somebody, you know, 20 years old should do. And if we would have only blessed them on the basis of their knowledge, dear God, they'd have been some unhappy kids. I could have said, our parents are jerks. And they were right. Their parents would have been jerks. So be careful how you deal and judge yourself. Be careful how you do that, because you can get over the areas where you are not receiving the blessing that you should have of walking where you are. Because you think, you know, well, I'll tell you, you know, I got to be where Benny Hinn's at, you know, or somebody, or you're looking there at somebody, then I can get to this. That, I'll tell you what, the devil uses that kind of stuff all to bring deception in and keep Christians oppressed. You know, the blessing, if I can just reach this epitome. No, I'll tell you what, if you don't get blessed, you'll never reach the epitome. If God don't bless you till you get there, you ain't going there. You need God to get there. And he'll bless you. He'll continue. You know, like, don't we do with people in the earth, if they do a good job, we're supposed to anyhow. Well, they don't do it today, maybe as much. Today, everybody gets the same thing, whether you're a lazy bum or you work. They give you the bum the same thing. But they used to. If you did something better, you were rewarded for it. They didn't say, well, we never reward you. You did everything perfect. Well, nobody ever got a reward. Well, God's not a fool. He will reward you all along the way as you grow. He'll just reward you and reward you. You just do what's right. He's glad to. You can sit over there and believe God, and he'll believe you receive it, and you have it. You don't have to wait till you do everything perfect. We got to watch. Religion starts to enter in, and people just think, I got to get everything perfect and everything. Well, nobody's got there, have you noticed? My words. all the study I've done and all the things I've done, and sometimes I think, dear Lord, can we get beyond some of this, Ed? But we're always learning because, you know, we got a God who, I mean, you read the Bible and it's just, it's like, whoa. You got to be careful. It's like I heard years ago, they said, be careful measuring yourself against the measuring stick of Jesus. Because you might always have yourself a failure. You got to watch. Our perfection's by faith. It's not by a physical deed. None of us have arrived. I mean, when Paul said, we see through a glass darkly, Paul, he didn't measure himself. He believed in Christ's perfection and believed in it working in him. But he didn't think he was walking in the perfection of Christ. He was walking in the perfection of the knowledge that he had by faith. That's what he was doing. And so you do the same and you'll be blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. We'll close there. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you this morning, Lord God, as we've finished up here and the things we've shared. I thank you, Father God, because of your graciousness and goodness and kind to us and kindness in Christ Jesus. And Father God, Father, you don't expect of us what we don't understand and what we can't do. You expect of us what we just understand, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord God, that your grace is continually working in us, Father, taking us from glory to glory, as the Scripture says. And Lord God, we thank you, Father God, as till Jesus comes back, we know that this is a labor that we'll be continually working in, developing ourselves and walking in it. But Father God, we know this, that you will continue to bless us, to help us, to encourage us along the way, revealing yourself to us and your glory and your great blessings in this earth, Lord God, that we can walk in them, that men can see that we have a wonderful and great and glorious God. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.